from FamilyTimes.net a story about Mahatma Gandhi. And let me read to you, or let me share to you what I read. In his autobiography, Mahatma Gandhi wrote that during his student days, he read the Gospels. The Gospels is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So he read the Gospels, and he seriously and considered converting to Christianity. He believed that in Jesus, he could find the solution to the caste system. Caste meaning divided. System that was dividing the people of India. So one Sunday, he decided to attend services at a nearby church and talk to the minister about becoming a Christian. When he entered the sanctuary, however, the usher refused to give him a seat and suggested that he go and worship with his own people. Gandhi left the church and never returned. And he said, if Christians have caste differences also, he said, I might as well remain as Hindu. Because for him, it's just the same. That usher's prejudice not only betrayed Jesus, but also turned a person away from trusting Christ as Savior. What about us, my dear brothers and sisters? As a believer, do we also show favoritism? Do we discriminate people? Do we give favor only to those whom we can also gain favor? What is our attitude between the rich and the poor? Or we also classify, there's also now classification as a middle class. How's our attitude? Do we play favorites? Do we discriminate people? My prayer is that may we learn, or as a believer, we must show no favoritism. Let's look at what the Bible is saying about this. Let's open our Bibles to James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. Again, James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. And may I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. James chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. The Word of God says, my brothers and sisters, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and a fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppressed you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to judge under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. May God be praised for the reading of his word. Let us have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, Lord God, for this wonderful opportunity that you have given us, that as your people, we can gather together in this place to worship you, not only, Lord, through songs, but also by listening and studying your word. So, Father, I pray that may you move, may you sweep in this place, Lord God. May you move mightily in our midst and open our hearts and our minds to accept your word and be ready to apply this. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Again, let me remind you, GCF, our activity for this March. We will have a walk through the Passion of Christ 2018. Remember, we also did that last year, 2017. And Ayala also, again, gave us this opportunity to do it again here in Solenad Mall, downstairs at the Ayala ground, Ayala Solenad 3 grounds. So we are asking for if you like to volunteer. So please do approach our ushers or Deacon Hector Coloma if you want to volunteer, especially on the ingress and egress. Ingress po yung pagdala po natin ng mga boards na ginagamit po natin dyan. It's like a quote-unquote station of the cross. So we need workers, especially men, we're calling men, na tutulong po sa amin para po dalin lahat yung mga boards. We'll just update you on the date, kailan po natin ipapasok lahat yon at kailan din natin ilalabas. Now, we will continue on our sermon series based on the book of James. Remember that we stop at James chapter 1, verse 27, and let me just read you so that we can see the context of what we are talking about here. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, religion that is pure, religion meaning in the original language, it means service or worship to God. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, meaning to help the poor, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Now, James will give us one of the things that we can do. Okay, how are we going to keep ourselves unstained from the world? And that is by showing no partiality or show no favoritism. Look at verses 1 and 4 of James chapter 2. If you notice, James addressed his readers as brothers. Okay? My brothers. Actually, in the Greek language, it's adelphos. So it could mean, actually, it should be translated as brethren. Brothers and sisters. Okay? So meaning, the book of James, this is about the behavior of a believer. The walk of a believer. It's not about the way of salvation, but rather James is now already addressing the believers, okay? How they ought to behave as a believer. Okay? Now, one of the ways that believers can keep themselves unstained from the world is by showing, by holding the faith, by showing no favoritism. Okay? Because the main verb in this sentence is hold the faith. And then the adverbial phrase is show no partiality. Okay? So hold the faith by showing no partiality. That is why in the new, in the NASB, New American Standard Bible, translated it this way. My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. Because if you truly hold the faith, if you say that you hold the faith, you know the gospel, then we should play no favorites. Because it is quite clear, when it comes to the gospel, the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, he said, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one. No division. Because the Bible says, when it comes to the gospel, you are all one in Christ Jesus. So James wants his reader, this is the emphasis, show no partiality. If you truly hold the faith, if you believe in the gospel, then you should show no partiality. Partiality in the original language, it means to make unjust distinctions between people by treating one person better than another. So the implication is playing favorites or favoritism. That is why one scholar stated it this way. He said, believers must never mix faith with favoritism or partiality. If they do, it is just another case of double-mindedness. Remember, we already discussed double-mindedness in James chapter 1. When favoritism dominates, the obedience of faith is compromised and undermined. So in context, what are we talking? What is favoritism in the context of James? What are they doing so that we can understand better what he's trying to say to us? Look at verses 2 to 4 so that we can see how they play favorites during the time of James. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing, take note of that, fine clothing, comes into your assembly, and a poor man in a shabby clothing also comes in, if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while on the poor man you say, stand over there at the back, then you are playing favorites. You are already making distinctions. You are already discriminating people between the rich and the poor. Okay, so James' context was in an assembly. Okay, it seems that there were people during his time who judges people who comes in through their clothing, fine clothing, shabby clothing, okay, during the time of James. And it seems that they neglect the poor in their assembly. Again, remember, James chapter 1, verse 27, the Word of God says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to help, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, to help the poor, not to discriminate the poor, but to help the poor. And now, okay, this is what they were doing in their assembly. They were discriminating the poor. So it is not consistent with the gospel. Because God himself, we can read this in the Old Testament, that he plays no favorite. Douglas Moo, one scholar, said, the Old Testament repeatedly stresses that God himself is impartial, looking at the heart rather than at the outside of a person. And God's people are to imitate him in this respect. That is why the scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17, for the Lord your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. That is why James said those who show favoritism, James said in verse 4, they become judges with evil motives, with evil thoughts. Perhaps what was in the mind of James during that time was Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great or to the rich. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. So the motives of their heart can be seen the way they play favorites. Now, what can we learn from this? How can we apply this in our time? Okay? Show no favoritism. That's the principle. Show no favoritism. This is not only true during the time of James, but even in our context, in our church. We should not be inconsistent with the gospel. If we say that we truly believe the gospel, then we should play no favorites. Show no favoritism. Here's a scenario. Let me give you a scenario. Let's apply this in our context. Okay? What if, I'm just stating an example. I'm not saying, na ganito tayo. Okay? I'm just saying an example. Let me be clear on this. Okay? What if someone in our church commits a sin, and many of us knows that sin, like immorality. Now, this person is a quote-unquote tither or giver. Or perhaps this person really gives a significant amount to the church. How are we going to deal with that person? If we become soft on him because we don't want to offend him or her because we are afraid that this person might leave the church, aren't we playing favorites? Because what if, on the other hand, there is a certain person also commit the same sin, and we all know that he or she just gives a little. That's in our perspective. By the way, giving, it's between you and the Lord. But in the perspective, as human being, We know that this person only gives this much, while this person gives significant amount. Then we deal harshly on this person than on the one who gives more. Aren't we showing favorites? That's how we apply it in our context. We may not discriminate people through clothes, but what about our attitude towards people? The Bible is clear that we must show no favoritism. As a church, GCF New Valley, remember, everybody is welcome. Rich, poor, middle class, however you define it, everybody is welcome in GCF New Valley. Now, how are we going to apply this individually? Okay. For example, okay, you have friends. They came to you. They have problems, conflict. How are you going to deal with them? How are you going to deal with that person whom you know that you can gain favor, while on the other hand, you know that in this person you can gain nothing? How are you going to look at the merits? How are you going to balance things? Remember, show no favoritism, no partiality. Because if we truly believe the gospel, because in the gospel, there's no partiality. When it comes to God, there's no partiality. Therefore, as a believer, as a child of God, we should also show no favoritism. Show no favoritism. Now, James expounded more as to how the believers can apply this, can show no favoritism by respecting all people. Look at what he said in verses 5 to 8. Again, for the second time. For the second time, James again mentioned the word brothers or adelphos in the original language. So it is clear that he is talking to the believers. Okay? Favoritism, it was happening during the time of James, and the issue was that they honor the rich while they dishonor the poor. Okay? But look at what James said. God has chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him. But you have dishonored the poor man. Now, what does the word poor here? The word poor here means economically disadvantaged. So, literally, physically poor. And during the time of James, they are really talking about the literal poor and the rich. But remember that God loves the poor. Okay? God loves the poor. God loves those who are being disregarded by the society. So, in order for us to inherit the kingdom of God, okay, we need to grasp the meaning of the word poor there. Because as one Greek English lexicon puts it, the word poor there, it means the thought is also that since they are oppressed, they are disillusioned, so they are in a special need of God's help. Meaning, we must become dependent on God. Not self-reliant, but dependent on God. That is the picture of poor. That's also a picture of a poor person. They are dependent on others. So therefore, for us to inherit the kingdom of God, we must be dependent on God. That's why he loves the poor, because they are so dependent on him. So in our context, we must grasp that kind of attitude. The attitude of being poor in spirit, that we must be dependent on him. The problem is that believers to whom James wrote is that they dishonor the poor. And the word dishonor there, it means to deprive someone of honor or respect. It means to shame them. They shame them. When he said, but you have dishonored the poor man. You have shamed the poor man. And literally, the word shame, it means to cause someone to be laughed at para pagtawanan. Or to cause people to wag their heads at someone. The significance is the word insult. So they insulted the poor. They shamed the poor. They insulted the poor by letting everyone know that they are not important in their assembly. Because again, for the rich, they invited them to. They are giving them the best seat in the house. While for those who wear shabby clothing, for the poor, They say, stand at the back. Unlike today, of course, all of us in our context, it's different context. In our context, all of us wants to sit at the back. Tama po ba yun? Napansin nyo ba yun? Huling napupuno ngayon ang harapan. Unang napupuno yung likod. Kaya nga nakarinig po ako sabi ng isang speaker. Bakit hindi na lang natin ilagay yung stage kaya sa likuran? Para lahat tayo nandun na lang. Kasi total lahat naman tayo gusto natin doon sa likod. Diba? But in the case of James, it's different. Okay? The best seat in the house are the seats in front. So yun yung ibinibigay nila doon sa rich. While for the poor, doon sila sa likuran. Different context nga lang sa atin. Now, James gave them the reality, what's happening. He said, are not the rich the ones who oppress you? The ones who drag you into court? Are they the ones who blaspheme? They are the ones who blaspheme the honorable name. Name there, it's referring to Jesus Christ. The honorable name by which you were called. So what is happening here so that we can understand this? ESV Study Bible gives us the background of this. Meaning is, this oppression or exploitation reflects a situation of radical social polarization in the first century, with merchants and land owners taking land and possessions from the poor. As frequently recorded, even in the Old Testament, the wealthy often used the court system to steal from the poor. Basically, during the time of James, the rich exploited the poor because somehow the rich during his time, they quote-unquote owned the courts. Siyempre, kayang bayaran eh. And I think there's no difference between during the time of James and even in the modern time, in our time here, especially in the context of Philippines. That is why Vernon McGee said, whether it is at the hands of a rich corporation or of a rich labor union, the powerful are not giving the poor an honest deal. Every year, the politicians come out, he's giving an example, every year the politicians come out to us when they are running for office and say that they are going to work for and help all of us, poor people. It does not make any difference what political party is. He said, at the end of the day, they wind up exploiting us. Kay McGee yun sa Amerika. Siguro hindi totoo sa Pilipinas yan. Diba? Tama ba ako doon? Hindi kayo makasagot, di ba? So what can we learn from this? We must respect all people. All people, whether rich, poor, middle class, however society defines people nowadays, because at the end of the day, remember, we are the body of Christ. There's only one classification if you are a Christian. You are in Christ. There is no such thing as rich in Christ and poor in Christ, middle class in Christ. No. That's why the Bible says we are one body. We are all in Christ. If you profess your faith on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you are in Christ. That is why, again, if you observe twice in our passage, James wrote the Greek word adelphos, brothers. He didn't say rich brothers, poor brothers, no. Simply say, brothers. No favoritism. Show no favoritism by respecting everybody. Remember, 2 years ago, we had an election. Okay? I think national and even local election. And during the campaign period, okay, one party sent a note to me, sent an envoy to me, and they said that they want to visit GCF Nuvali. One party, all of them, from mayor, vice mayor, councilor, they want to visit GCF Nuvali. They want to worship with us. And I told them, I answered, of course you can. You can. Everybody is welcome to GCF Nuvali, right? Am I right? So we play no favorites, show no favorites. So you are welcome to worship with us. And then the envoy told me, can GCF Nuvali sit them in front and be recognized? Now, that's the problem. Okay? Campaign period. Okay? So I told them, that is not the practice of GCF Nuvali. Okay? Here's what we will do. If they want to stand up, okay, and be recognized by people, at the end of the service, I usually say, if this is your first time here in GCF Nuvali, you stand up. Then you stand up and people will welcome you in GCF New Valley. And then, alanganin ngayon tong envoy, di ba? Ayaw niya. Then he just told me, what if, Pastor, you just pray for them in front? And then I just told her, you know what? GCF New Valley play no politics. We do not play politics in the church. Okay? Yes, we do pray, okay, for the officials of the land, but we do not endorse politicians because we play no favorites in GCF New Valley. Now, hindi ko na lang sa inyo sasabihin na nakaupo na kasi ngayon eh. Diba? Yung mayor. So, GCF New Valley, play no favorites. Show no favoritism. How are we going to apply this? We must respect all people. We must add value to all people. Especially to those whom you know that they cannot give you back. They cannot return the favor. Because once we are, it becomes a habit, given a situation, then we can really practice this, showing no favoritism. Let's apply this. Okay? Can you say, God loves me? Okay. Then can you say to the person beside you, God loves you? Okay. What about this? God loves my enemies. Wow, at least kaya nyo sabihin, di ba? Because remember, Jesus in the Bible is, while we were still enemies, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God played no favorites. He showed no favorites. So therefore, as a believer, we should also show no favorites. There should be no favoritism. Now, what is the basis? And the question is, does this have significance, eternal significance? Look at verses 8 to 13. Here's the reason. Here's the motivation. He said, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. So the basis of James is the scripture. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Then you are doing well. But, okay, he said, but if you show partiality, you are. So if we play favorites, we are committing what? We're committing sin. And are convicted by the law as transgressors. Remember, James said in James chapter 1, we should be doers of the word and not hearers only. It is not enough for us to just memorize scripture. Don't get me wrong. It's good that you memorize scripture. But if we do not apply the scripture, then it's nothing. Somehow that's what James is trying to say here. You know the commandments, but, he said, if you show partiality, especially loving your neighbor, we all know that, love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the second is this, the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But you show, if you show partiality, you're committing sin. Because the reality is we're not loving our neighbor. That is the argument given by James. That is what he is trying to say here. So somehow, what James, what is in his mind is Leviticus 19, 15, and 18. When he said again, you shall do no injustice in court, you shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. And then in verse 18, he said, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. So the reason why we will show no favoritism is because of the commandment given by the Lord. Love your neighbor. That is the foundation. That is the ground. If you're going to ask me, Pastor, why are we going to apply that? Because the Bible says, love your neighbor. Therefore, we should show no favoritism. Because if we look at what he said here, what James is trying to say in this verse is that don't pick verses. Hindi pwede yung gusto mo lang. Yan yung sinasabi niya dyan sa verses 10 onwards. Yes, you know that you do not commit adultery, you do not do that, do not commit murder, yes, you do not do that, but you show partiality, it's just the same. You are transgressing the whole law. So even in verse, we should play no favorites when it comes to Bible. Di ba? Pag nabasa mo, ayoko yata nito. Mahirap to. Lipat na lang ako, di ba? Ng Bible verse. Hindi pwede yun. Lahat yan. Okay? There should be no favorite. Now, why are we going to do this? Does this have an eternal significance? Look at what James said. If we continuously obey Him as a believer, okay, we're talking about believers, does our obedience have eternal significance? Look at what he said in verses 12 to 13. So speak and so act. Okay? Like what? As those who are to be judged. Did you see that word judge? Under the law of liberty or under the law of love. So the truth, my dear brothers and sisters, is that we will be judged. Pastor, I thought that we will no longer be judged. If we already put our faith in Christ, then we will no longer be judged. Okay? Let me remind you of this. Okay? When it comes to our salvation, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Okay? So therefore, once we put our trust in Christ, we will no longer be judged when it comes to the penalty of sin. Okay? Meaning, we will be saved from the penalty of sin. We will be saved from, because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. Death means hell in our common language. Okay? But the free gift of God in Romans 6:23, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. If we want to be saved from the penalty of sin, then we should put our trust in Christ, because Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It is only through Jesus Christ. So my prayer is that may the Holy Spirit make this clear to you, that there is no, okay, there is salvation in no one else. Because in the book of Acts, it says, there is only one name given under heaven by which man can be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So put your trust in Him. Put your confidence in Him and on the finished work of Christ. Don't put your confidence on your works, because our works, it cannot save us. Only the finished work of Jesus can save us. So put your confidence, your belief, you believe, your trust in Him and Him alone, in Christ and Christ alone. If you can approach me after the service if you want to know more about the free gift of God, that is salvation. Okay? Now for us, when it comes to this, the judgment here in the book of James in chapter 2, what we are talking about here are judgment for the believers. This is what we call the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? That is why I told you, after you got saved, remember, our works, it cannot save us. Now, after we got saved, our obedience, if we obey this, show no partiality, James said, it has eternal significance. Because we will face, one day, we will all face, as believers, we will all face the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will be judged. Or in other words, the judgment here is about our reward. We will be rewarded. In order for this to be clear, look at what the Apostle Paul said, so that this will be clear. What is the judgment here? In Corinthians, Paul said, now if anyone, is talking to the believers here, builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, this is about our works, okay? Wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become manifest for the day. That's the judgment seat of Christ. We'll disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he receives a reward. So our obedience, it has eternal significance, because you will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though, he said, he himself will be saved. So about works, when it comes to being a believer, our works matters for the rewards, not for our salvation. There's a big difference between the two. Okay, so let me be clear on that. When it comes to our obedience, it is for our reward, not for our salvation. Because if we continue to disobey, Paul said, well, yes, you're saved. But he said, you will suffer loss.
You have no rewards. And we're talking about forever. Hindi po pwedeng pag nandun, Lord, balik muna ulit ako sa Christian life ko. Susunod na po ako. Hindi pwede yun. Because the time is now. The time is now. So here, we're not talking about salvation, but we're talking about sanctification. Our life as a believer. So our obedience, it matters to God. It matters. It has significance. It has eternal significance. So in this passage, what are we going to obey? Show no favoritism. Show no favoritism. Church, let me be, in closing, let me say this to you. Let us value all people. Okay? Let's respect all people. Let's not discriminate people. Let it be a habit to us that we always, always value people. All people. Whether rich, poor, middle class. Because it's an attitude. We're talking about our attitude. Show no favoritism. Today is a communion Sunday.